Welcome to Historical Jesus. I'm Mark Vinette. I recently heard a provocative defender of Christianity say, "Put aside your Marvel characters and dedicate yourself to honoring the blessed Saint Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. He is the perfect example of what a real man and courageous hero should be." From adultery to adoption, let's follow Joseph's obedient journey in passages from the Gospel of Matthew. The story of Joseph's response to Mary's pregnancy through the Holy Spirit reveals profound insights into ancient Jewish culture, marriage customs, and the significance of Joseph's obedience. By diving into the background and cultural nuances of this passage, a fresh perspective is offered on Joseph's reaction. Let's listen to Bishop Robert Barron's historical and spiritual analysis of Joseph of Nazareth.
Saint Joseph. I'm going to talk about this great saint. Focus on Saint Joseph. The greatest male saint in the history of the church was not a pope, not a bishop, not a priest, not a deacon, not a hermit, not a monk. The greatest male saint in the history of the church was a husband and layman and simple worker, Saint Joseph. Now, what makes him, besides his universality, so important? First, we should note, we know almost nothing about him. We have a few references, a handful of references in the gospel, mostly concentrated in the Gospel of Matthew. And a very interesting thing, a curious thing, Joseph never speaks in the gospels. There's no account of Joseph ever saying anything. Now, think of the great talkers in the Bible, Abraham and Jacob and Moses and Joshua, not to mention the great prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, King David and his great speeches. There are a lot of great talkers in the Bible. And of course, nothing wrong with that. But Joseph, at least as he's portrayed in the Gospels, is not a talker at all. He doesn't say one word. Rather, he listens and does what he's told. He listens to the word of God. And then quietly, without fanfare, without protest or, hey, look at me, he does what he's told. The saints are those who disappear into the mission of the church. Saint isn't drawing attention to himself or herself. Not the saints. They tend to disappear into their mission. Well, I think the example of that is Saint Joseph. There's no crowing, no, hey, look at me. There's no, let me tell you what I'm doing. He listens, does what he's told, gets about the mission that God gives him. Here's a second dimension to his holiness, and this is so typical of the Bible. You know, the biblical authors, both Old Testament and New, will suggest a character to us in a few deft strokes. They don't spend paragraphs and chapters laying out the complex psychology of their characters, but rather in a few simple descriptive moves, they clue you into what's motivating a given figure. Well, a good example in the story of Joseph is he's betrothed to Mary, so that was the custom. He's betrothed, he's engaged to her, or they live together. He discovers that Mary is pregnant. He knows he's not the father. He's a man of the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law said this was an outrage. In fact, if you follow it strictly, that person should be stoned to death. Joseph was a man of the law. He was righteous, which is a very high quality in the Jewish culture of his time. He doesn't press the law all the way to that rather grim conclusion. Rather, he decides to divorce Mary quietly so she would be free of the terrible humiliation and ultimately of this penalty of death. What do we see there? A very interesting coming together of righteousness and mercy. He's a righteous man, believes in the law, and he sees the ultimate purpose of the law is to align us to the divine mercy. You can be one-sidedly a person of the law. You reverence the law of God, the law of the Bible, the laws of the church. But if you do it in a one-sided way, you can become, in short order, a kind of legalistic bully and willing to use the law as a weapon against others. That's a one-sided legalism. All right, go to the other extreme. Someone who embraces in a one-sided way a sort of ersatz mercy and doesn't care about the law. Oh, who cares? God is love. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. A sort of laissez-faire attitude toward the law. What do you find in Joseph? Is a very delicate balance suggested in that one scene, but a very delicate balance between righteousness and mercy. And that, I think, makes him very attractive and a wonderful model for all of us trying to make our way through the thickets of religious life.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-218-6010. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-218-6010. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-218-6010.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Here's a third dimension of Joseph that I think is wonderful. He's a dreamer. So several times in the brief account we have of Joseph, we hear that God communicates to him in a dream, and he listens to that communication and abides by it. Look at dreamers in the Bible. Jacob rests his head on the rock, and then he dreams of the angels ascending and descending of Jacob's ladder. Think of Saint Joseph's forebear in the Old Testament, Joseph, who's an interpreter of dreams. He understands the dreams of Pharaoh. Think of Daniel, the same thing, many centuries later, who interprets the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Dreams represent a sort of higher consciousness, a deeper perception. So there's the ordinary world that we take in with our senses and we figure out with our calculating minds, and we understand it politically, sociologically, psychologically, etc. Fine, that's the world of ordinary experience. But then there's a deeper perception. In and through all of that, what is God up to? What's God doing? What's God saying? To get to that level, your mind has to be opened up. A new dimension has to emerge. There's a depth of perception that has to happen before you can see. Think of the Bible talking about hearing the word of God. I'm hearing things all the time within my ordinary experience, and somehow amidst all of it, I hear God's word. What enables that is this capacity that Joseph had to dream, to imagine a new possibility. So he's looking at his situation with his betrothed, and things look pretty disastrous, don't they? She's pregnant out of wedlock. She's subject to the full penalty of the law. This is a very grim situation. But in his dream, he's open to another possibility, another perspective. What's next is what most people think of when they think of Joseph. So what did he hear in the dream? What is God saying to him? Well, God gives him a mission. His mission is to be the protector of the two most important people who've ever lived, Mary and Jesus, the two most important figures in the history of salvation. And Joseph is given this extraordinary privilege and task to protect them. What did this involve? This man has to escort this heavily pregnant woman from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Read some accounts of what travel was like in the ancient world. It was not a walk in the park. Dangers attendant upon the travelers at every turn. Joseph conducts her to Bethlehem. Then, no room at the inn. If you've ever had the experience of arriving someplace and the room you thought you'd booked is not available, there's no place to stay. Now, multiply that times about 1,000. You know what it would have been like in the ancient world not to have a place to stay with a pregnant woman about to give birth. He has to bring her to stable or cave, and there amidst the animals, she gives birth. All this time, Joseph is the one charged with protecting this mother and child. And then, the most terrible part of the story, almost immediately afterwards, Herod, the king, I mean, the guy with all the power in the country, with armed soldiers, is coming after this baby, is seeking to kill this baby. So Joseph has to up and get out of Bethlehem and make his way to Egypt, crossing the Sinai Desert. What did they eat? What did they drink? Where did they get provisions of any kind? She's just given birth. There's a newborn baby in her arms. The land is no doubt crisscrossed by spies and agents of Herod. Joseph gets her safely to Egypt and gets the baby there, and then has to bring them back. I mean, that's just one moment in his life as protector, playing that role of protector. Joseph is the one who played that role. We refer to St. Joseph as the patron of the universal church. His mission while he walked this earth was to protect the body of Christ, literally the body of Christ. He was protecting the Lord. He still does, but now he's protecting the mystical body of Christ, which is the whole church. See, that's why he's so powerful. That's why go to Joseph. You're looking for something. You're looking for help and protection, intercession, whatever it is. Ite ad Yosef. Go to Joseph because he still protects the church. Under this rubric, my favorite title that Joseph has is he's the terror of demons. Paul said that we fight against not just flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. There were the agents of Herod, to be sure. They were enemies of Christ that Joseph had to protect him from. But they're invisible enemies too, spiritual enemies. Focus on St. Joseph, this dreamer, this man that saw at a higher level of perception, this protector of the body of Christ.
I'm Mark Vinette. Thank you for sharing your time with me. Doctors endorse it, nutritionists recommend it, and customers love it. Calotrin Healthy Weight Loss. Ron in Texas lost 35 pounds. Marie in Pennsylvania lost 117 pounds with Calotrin. Diane not only lost weight, but she also found relief from arthritis. Lynn lost over 45 pounds. Calotrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calotrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calotrin has an amazing 86% success rate with their 90-day supply. And this week, take advantage of their President's Day sale. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is so easy. Just text the word HISTORY to the code 30605, and we'll send you a link to this special offer. Again, text HISTORY, that's HISTORY, using the code 30605.